Masechet Moed Katan, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Gimel. This Mishnah we'll talk about watering crops on Chol HaMoed. Mishnah says, Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer, Moshkim et Hamayim Me'ilan Le'ilan, Ubilvad Shelo Yashke et Kol HaSadeh. A person is allowed to draw water from one tree to another tree on Chol HaMoed. If there is a puddle of water that's around the tree, a person could make a line from one tree to the next in order to create a stream and irrigate from one tree to the other tree, even though we're talking about a type of tree that is not fully needing of any irrigation whatsoever, could survive on rainfall alone. Adding water to it from one tree, from the other tree, would only help its yield. It'll only help it produce more produce, more fruits. This is allowed because it's such a minimal effort that's needed to go from one tree to the next. But he says, ubilvad shelo yashket kol asadeh, it's only allowed if you're not going to do that for the entire field. If you were doing that for the entire field, everything changes, and then you are required to have a lot of effort, and that wouldn't be allowed in order to get you more profit. So we see from Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov two laws over here. When there's minimal effort, he allows you to do something that's going to produce you more profit. When there's significant effort needed, you would not be allowed to do something in order to give you more profit. He would only allow it in order to prevent a davar ha'aved, to prevent significant financial loss to you. And that matches up cleanly with Mishnah Aleph. Now we'll talk about plants that cannot survive on rainwater alone. They need some sort of irrigation, but not the type of irrigation where it has to happen all the time. So how do we deal with those? Mishnah says, Zera'im, shelo shatu lifnei ha-mo'ed, lo yashkeim ba-mo'ed. Plants that were not watered before the holiday, before the mo'ed, are not allowed to be watered on Chol HaMo'ed either, even though these plants do need some sort of human intervention in order to provide them water. Since we don't do that often, they're not done on a daily basis, no harm will come to them if they're left for a few days. So therefore, we don't allow any irrigation on Chol HaMoed because that is included of significant effort. So we don't allow that significant effort over here because a person could have done it before the holiday. They could do it after the holiday. No harm will come to a person if he leaves it for a few days. Hachamim are going to disagree with both of these laws of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Hachamim matirim bazeh ubazeh. The rabbis allowed both cases. They allowed a person to water his entire field, even though the field could survive on rainwater alone, and the irrigation that would be provided from one tree to the next for the entire field would just help them get a higher profit, not to prevent significant loss, just to give them more profit. The rabbis allowed melacha on Chol HaMoed not only to prevent a davar ha'aved, but to increase profit as well. And they also allowed a person over here, these types of trees, the second case of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, where he said that if you have types of plants that don't survive on rainwater alone, they need some irrigation, but they don't do it often. Hachamim, so Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov said, you're not allowed to do that on the holiday, do it before, do it after. While Hachamim said, no, let's also, in that situation, allow it. If these trees get more irrigation, they'll produce a higher yield, they'll give more produce to the person, and again, that would be allowed for profit to the Hachamim. We don't follow the opinion of Hachamim over here, we follow the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. That lines up well with Mishnah Aleph, where tirha, exertion, is only allowed to prevent a financial loss, but not in order to give somebody a profit. So we follow the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. That fits well with Mishnah Aleph. Masechet Moed Katan, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Dalet. We've been saying that on Chol HaMoed, to prevent a financial loss, a person is allowed to do work. But this Mishnah will tell us that that type of work in certain situations has to be done in a unusual manner. Mishnah says, Sadin ta'eshut ve'ta achbarim misedeha ilan u'misedeha lavan kedarko ba'mo'ed u'bashevi'it. You're allowed to trap moles and mice in an orchard or a grain field in the usual manner. The usual manner, what they would do is, in order to trap and get these mice, they would dig holes in the ground, they would put nets in there, and then they would remove the mice. That's allowed on Chol HaMoed and on Shemitah. A person would think that it's not allowed on Shemitah because it resembles digging.
That's how they would do it. But still, we are going to allow it for the sake of preventing loss. The rabbis didn't make a gizrah. They didn't compare it to digging, and they allowed it anyway. But hachamim disagree. Hachamim omrim, misedeha ilan kedarko, misedeha lavan shelo kedarko. The rabbi said, only when you're talking about an orchard could it be done in the usual way, which is digging into the ground and putting nets. But when talking about a sedeh halavan, a grain field, it could only be done in an unusual manner. They wouldn't dig holes in the normal way and put nets over there. They would rather push a pole into the ground, move it back and forth, pull it out, and then that would create a hole and they could place a net. So it wouldn't be the actual digging. They would avoid making it look like they were digging, even though you're allowed to do melacha on chol hamoed to prevent the loss. In this situation, when you're talking about a grain field, that's only a very minor loss. So we only allow melacha to be done for a major loss, like we have in the first case of an orchard. But a grain field where the loss would be minor from the mice coming in, you're only allowed to do the melacha in an unusual way because the loss would be such a small amount. But again, when you're dealing with a major orchard where the loss could be a very big loss, we would allow it to be done the usual way, which would be through digging. Another limitation that the rabbis put on doing melacha on chol hamoed to prevent a small loss, umkarin tapirsa b'moed, you're allowed to close up a gap in a fence of a garden on chol hamoed, but you're only allowed to do it with rows of stones over there basically blocking the area, but you're not allowed to cement them together. Why? Because let's say somebody gets in, a thief gets in, or an animal gets in. What they'll do is they'll take a few fruits, they'll damage a little bit, but the loss is only going to be small, so you're not allowed to do it in a normal way, which would be closing it up and cementing it. You could just block it, and that type of blocking is the only thing allowed to be done to prevent a minor loss. Now the Mishnah says the halacha with Shemitah, ubashevi'id boneh kedarko. But when dealing with Shemitah, you're allowed to even build a new wall around the garden in the usual manner. There's no problem of doing this on the Shemitah year. You're not doing anything to the fruits themselves, even though you do have to let the aniyim in, you have to let the poor people in, because all of the fruits are really the property of Hashem during the Shemitah year. A person accomplishes that by leaving his gate open. He doesn't have to now, you know, knock down all the gates around his property. If he leaves the gates in the front open, people know they can come in. He has fulfilled his obligation.